Well, let's dive in this morning, shall we? For the next several weeks, though, we're gonna kind of take a little break from our series through the Book of Acts. We've been going through the Book of Acts since last January, and we're barely halfway through that, and we're gonna continue on in our series starting back in January again. But we're gonna take a break as we kind of walk through our Christmas series that we're starting this morning. But before we begin this morning, I want to start just with a quick little video that I want us to watch as it leads into my message.
For many of us, Christmas is a time of year that holds some of our dearest memories. We're introduced as kids to this season that brings our loved ones together and is filled with celebration. We sang songs, set up nativities, decorated houses. We learned Christmas is actually a real story with shepherds, wise men, Joseph and Mary, the story of when God the Father gave His Son. But now that I have children of my own, it feels like the story of Christmas is simply a story about more. More toys, more things. And even though I'm the parent, I gotta admit that in all the busyness, I buy into it too. I've traded away the best story in the world for what's on sale. But what if God had something better than this for all of us? I want to show my kids the real story of Christmas this Advent season. And honestly, I don't know what this will mean for our family. I hope it changes the way we spend money, who we bless, the type of gifts we give, and just how we talk and think about Jesus. The story of Christmas isn't told with free two-day shipping or Black Friday deals. The story of Christmas changed the world. So, shouldn't it change us?
If you were here with us a few years ago, you may remember this series that we're going to kind of start once again today. And as I began to prepare this year for Christmas to think about what we would talk about, what God was putting on my heart, I felt like the Lord was calling us to go back and to look at this idea that is known as Advent conspiracy. It's an idea, if you're not familiar with Advent conspiracy, it's an idea that started 10 years ago when a group of pastors got together back in 2006, actually in Portland, Oregon, and they talked about how they could do Christmas differently. Because they realized that what Christmas was supposed to be and what Christmas had become were really two totally different things. Because many of us have heard the saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. Many of us here, we've heard that, we know that, we believe that. But the reality is, Christmas in our culture today is about everything but Jesus. And so these pastors started talking about how they could do something different. How they could recapture the true heart of Christmas. And out of these conversations between these pastors came this Christmas movement known today as Advent conspiracy. Now, it started with just four churches back in 2006, but it has grown to thousands of churches worldwide that are now each year kind of rethinking Christmas, talking about what Christmas is about. Churches that are encouraging their congregations to stop and to remember what Christmas was supposed to be. And so over the next 4 weeks, as we head into Christmas, we're going to once again be walking through a series titled Advent conspiracy. And in these 4 weeks, we're going to look at four topics that will challenge us to rethink Christmas. Four topics that you see up here on the screen. Worship fully. Spend less. Give more. And love all. And so today we're going to start. We're going to start with the first one. We're going to start with worship fully. And here's the thing about this idea to worship fully. We won't be people who spend less. We won't be people who give more. We won't be people who love all if we aren't learning first to worship fully. It all starts with worship. The season of Christmas, more than anything, is about worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so what does it mean to worship fully? Well, I think first of all, we have to make sure that we all realize that worship does not equal music. Now, we've talked about this before, but it's important that we understand that. Worship does not equal music, because the reality is when most people hear the word worship, they immediately go to this idea of singing. Singing to the Lord. And even though that is one of the ways that we do worship, we have to realize that that isn't the only way that we can worship the Lord. If you've been around here for very long, you've heard me share that worship is far more than music. You see, worship is something that comes from inside of us. It comes from the inside out. And it's something that's lived out moment by moment in our actions. Our actions truly show how we worship the Lord. It's through our actions that we're able to worship God in all things, in all that we do. And so this morning, we're gonna look at several people who were involved in the very first Christmas. We're going to look at some various scriptures this morning of numerous people that were involved in the very first Christmas. And we're going to look at how they worshiped so that maybe we can learn how to worship the Lord fully this Christmas season. And so if you have your Bibles, we can start by opening to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, first book in the New Testament, right from the beginning here. And I want to share this morning first about a man named Joseph. We know Joseph, Joseph and Mary, right? I want to start with Joseph as we take a look at how he worshiped the Lord approaching the very first Christmas. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. This is what it says here. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together," okay, that's, you guys know what that means, right? "Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." There's this courting process, and so they hadn't officially been married, hadn't officially come together, but there was this whole courting process back then, and so he was going to just kind of divorce her quietly and be done with her. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. When we look here at Joseph's response in these scriptures, we see the first point that I want to make about worship this morning, which is this. We worship through a heart of obedience. We worship through a heart of obedience. Joseph here, he did what the Lord commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife. And to worship fully, we need to have a heart of obedience. We need to be obedient to the Lord. We need to follow His commands. Now, that sounds easy enough, right? Listen and obey, right? We say that to our kids all the time. Listen and obey. Sounds easy enough, right? But what happens? We don't always do it. The problem is sometimes His commands may be hard, or they may be things that we don't want to do. I'm guessing that many of us have probably heard the Christmas story so many times that it kind of fails to have an effect on us. We just heard it. Oh, yeah, I've heard the Christmas story. Oh, yeah, I know the Christmas story. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yep, Joseph took Mary. Yep, yep, this, that, all that, right? We've heard it so many times that we don't really listen and really hear each time what's being said to us. We hear these words, He took Mary home as His wife. And we think, well, yeah, what's the big deal? He was planning to marry her anyway, so he just did what he was planning to do. But the thing we have to realize is that this is no longer just some marriage in a little town in Israel. The woman who is to be his wife, she's now pregnant, okay? At least 3 months pregnant. And he's finding this out shortly before their wedding day. He's finding this out. Imagine, okay? Imagine with me, if you will. If on the eve of your wedding day, okay, you find out, and I guess more men have to imagine with me here, you find out your fiancé is 3 or 4 months pregnant, and it's not by you. And you know that because you have not been with her. In fact, she's been visiting relatives and she hasn't even been around you. So people are going to be able to figure this out too. They're going to be able to do the math. Wait a second, you haven't been with your wife for 6 months. She's been away for 6 months. And yet she's 3 months pregnant. Something doesn't add up here, right? Your whole world would be turned upside down in this situation. Your friends and your family are probably saying, you know, dump this girl. And you're probably thinking the same thing. But then you have this dream. And in your dream, an angel says it's okay and says, marry her. Imagine having to explain this to your friends and family. Well, no, see, really, she didn't sleep with someone else. She's actually going to have God's baby. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, yeah. A little bit too much of this, I think, you know, right? Can you imagine trying to explain this to your friends and family? I can only imagine how Joseph must have felt here, trying to explain what was going on. But here's the thing, Joseph, he believes in the Lord. He trusts in God. Even in something that seemed impossible. Even when something didn't make sense. And here's the thing that I love about Joseph. He didn't go and ponder and think about it and process and go, man, what are my friends? It says he did it. He obeyed immediately. He immediately listened to the Lord and obeyed. That's worship. To listen to the Lord and to respond immediately, especially to things that don't make sense, to things that you know might cause problems for you in the future. He did it. And that's worship. And the question we have to ask ourselves, are we worshiping the Lord fully with a heart of obedience? Are we doing the things that God's asked us to do? Are we listening and obeying? Because, you know, we listen, we hear. My kids hear a lot of times what they're told to do, but they don't always obey. We're the same way, right? I use my kids as an example, but I'm the same way. We hear what we're supposed to do, but we don't always obey. Are we doing the things that He's asked us to do? Because if not, then we're not worshiping Him fully. Because one of the ways we worship fully is through obedience. And so we ask ourselves this Christmas, do we want Christmas to be meaningful? And maybe the better question is, do we want our lives, not just Christmas, do we want our lives to be meaningful? If so, then we need to learn to walk in obedience. We need to do what Joseph did and worship the Lord by listening and obeying His commands. Worship through obedience. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can flip with me to Luke chapter 1. Here I want to look at another familiar story from the first Christmas. We talked about Joseph, and now this story is about Mary and about how Mary worshiped the Lord. And so Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verses 26 through 38 and see how Mary worshiped the Lord. It says this, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And as we look at this story, we see the second point that I want to share this morning about worship, which is this. We worship through a heart of submission. Through a heart of submission. Mary worshiped by submitting herself to the Lord's will. She says there, "May it be as you have said." That was her response. "May it be as you have said." Now, some may ask, what is the difference between obedience and submission? Because there's some similarities, you know. Aren't they kind of the same thing? And even though they may have some similarities, the reality is that they are not the same. And I would describe obedience as this, as an outward action. Obedience is an outward action. We're told to do something and then we outwardly reply to that. It's an outward action. While submission is an inward attitude. Obedience is doing what you're told to do. That's what Joseph did, right? Joseph obeyed. He did what he was commanded to do. But submission is willingly, in your own will, putting someone else's will above your own. It's giving up your will for theirs. Now here's the thing. You can be obedient but not necessarily submitted. Let me share with you a little illustration, okay? Little Tommy gets in trouble from his mother for doing something wrong. So she tells her son to go to his room and sit on his bed and think about what he's done. After a couple minutes, Tommy's mom comes in and checks on him. He's upset that he was sent to his room, and so Tommy tells his mother, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." The son, Tommy, was obedient, but he wasn't submissive. There's a difference. Mary worshiped the Lord by submitting her will to the will of God the Father. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She knew and she believed that God's will was best for her. And so she was submitted to do it regardless of what it meant for her. Because the reality is, what the Lord had told her to do could have gotten her killed in her day and age. But she still, knowing that, trusts in the Lord. Trusted in His will above her own will. This heart of submission here by Mary, it was an act of worship. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we worshiping the Lord by submitting to Him? Not just obeying, but willingly placing the Lord's will above our own. Okay, fine, God, I'll do it. Right? No, are we saying, "Okay, Lord, I love you and I'll do whatever you ask of me"? It's following Jesus instead of following ourselves, following our own desires and wants. It's allowing God to be Lord of our life, right? When we say, "Is Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of our life?" It's that Lord, it's saying, "I submit my life to you. I make you, Lord, willing to do whatever you ask of me." And coming to that place where we trust that His will for our life is better than ours. Even when His will isn't what we want. Even when His will looks scary. Even when His will doesn't make sense to us. Because the reality is, to be unmarried and to be with child, one, it could have meant losing this man that she loved. Losing Joseph. It could have meant being ostracized by the people, her friends and family and those around her in the city that she lived. And ultimately, as I said before, it could have meant being put to death. And yet she responds by saying, "May it be to me as you have said." She submitted and worshipped the Lord fully. Are we submitted and worshiping the Lord fully? Are we submitted to the Lord's plan for our life? Because in order for us to worship fully, we have to be willing to give Him our lives, to give Him control. That's what submission is all about. Now for our last thing here, I want to look at one last story in regards to worshiping fully. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn back to Matthew, but to Matthew chapter 2. And for our last story, we're going to take a look at the wise men. And we're going to see how the wise men came and worshiped the Lord. And so Matthew 2, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip to verse 9 and 11, 9 through 11. But beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says this: "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" And we're going to skip to verse 9, but kind of let me tell you what happens here. Most of you know this story. King Herod is upset to find out that there is another king that's been born in his kingdom. And so he tells them, right, to go to Bethlehem and to let him know when they find Jesus so that he can worship him too. But we know the truth is he doesn't want to worship him. He wants to kill him, right, and take care of him so that no one else can worship anybody except for Herod. And so that's kind of what happens in those sections. But let's jump to verse 9 and continue here. And it says this, "After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh." It says here that they bowed down and they worshipped him. Now, when you look at what the wise men did to get to this place, it tells you a lot about their worship. And the final point I want to make this morning is this. We worship through a heart of sacrifice. We worship through a heart of sacrifice. The reality is these wise men had sacrificed a great deal to come and to worship the Lord. First off, they sacrificed their time, right? Their journey to come and find Jesus and to worship Him. It wasn't like just going from here, you know, to the next little town or village. It was a long journey. The text doesn't actually tell us how long, but it's believed that it could be anywhere from a number of months to even many people believe that it was a couple years that it took for them to travel to come and to worship Jesus. Either way, you're talking about traveling back in a time and age where it would have been a long journey regardless if it was a few months or years, okay? Because these guys spent months, if not years, on the backs of camels, right? Just so that they could come and worship Jesus. And so these guys, they worship by sacrificing their time. Time that they could have spent, you know, being comfortable back in their homes, in their palaces, where they could have been relaxing and enjoying their great wealth. We understand these men were men of great wealth. They could have just been home enjoying their great wealth and all the things that they had. But instead, they gave that stuff up to get on camels and to travel for a period of time to come and to worship the King. And the question we have to ask ourselves in this is how well do we do when it comes to our time? Are we willing to sacrifice our time to do the things of the Lord? You know, this kind of goes to this thing I've talked about a few times here that the Lord's been challenging me with Sabbath. Taking time out of my schedule, which means I got to cut something out to be able to do that, to take that time to spend with the Lord. Are we willing to sacrifice those things so that we can spend time with the Lord? Because if we want to worship fully, then it just might mean being willing to sacrifice some of our time to be with the Lord. Now, the wise men didn't just sacrifice their time, though, here. They also sacrificed their treasures. Verse 11 says, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts there in verse 11. There were many other things they could have done probably with their treasures. There's many other things they could have bought and traded those treasures for, but instead they used their treasures to humbly worship the King, the King of Kings. The reality is a lot of people don't necessarily see giving as an act of worship. But when we honor God with whether it's our money or our resources, It's worship to the Lord if we are honoring Him in the process. It's being good stewards of what He's given us. That's our desire as a church, to be good stewards, to worship the Lord in the way that we give. It's showing God that He is more important to us than money or possessions or resources. And the reality is, God doesn't need our money or our treasures. He's God. He created everything. He doesn't need our money. But when we give, it shows that we trust the Lord with this area of our life. It shows that He's more important to us than stuff, than our treasures, than these things that oftentimes we lift up above Him. And so, are we worshiping the Lord through our sacrifice? Giving up those things, other things that aren't as important to us, so that we can worship Him? Are we worshiping the Lord fully? This Christmas season, I encourage you to escape the trap of what the world has made Christmas to be. And we're going to get more into that in the next few weeks of this series. But to start with, my encouragement is that this year, before anything, you take time to worship Him fully. But by living obediently, by submitting to His will and sacrificing, whether that's time or resources, your treasures, whatever that may be. Why? To seek to worship the One who willingly left His place of glory. Think about that, okay? We think about these wise men that left their palaces to worship Jesus, but He, Jesus, left His place of glory, where everything was perfect, to come to this dark world, to be born as a little baby in a smelly manger, to live in this cold and sinful world, and to ultimately die a brutal and lonely death. And why? So that we might experience forgiveness, so that we might experience eternal life with Him. He is the one and only one who is worthy to be worshipped. And we're called to worship Him fully with all that we are. So as we head into this Christmas season, let's rethink this year, if we haven't already, how we do Christmas, and make sure that we're starting by worshiping Him fully. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Christmas season, Lord. The reality is that we shouldn't just focus on You this time of year. Focus on what You're about, the fact that You came to this earth, Lord, to eventually die for our sins. We should be about Christmas 365 days out of the year. But as we enter into this season, this time where the world recognizes Christmas, Lord, may we enter into this season with right hearts, Lord. May we be people who first and foremost seek to worship You, to worship the King, Lord. The story, the fact that it's about not gifts, not Santa Claus, not all these other things that can get in the way. Those are okay. As long as we make You the center, Lord. That we don't forget that Christmas is about our Savior who came to this earth for us, who gave up the glories of heaven to come and to live in a world full of sin and pain, and to ultimately give up His life for us. May we remember what Christmas is about, and may we get back to the reality, Lord, that it's all about You. It happened so that we could once again have relationship with the Father. That we can once again be in His presence to worship Him and to have that union and that relationship that You desired from the beginning. And so, Lord, we thank You for this Christmas season. And we just pray, Lord, that You put it on our hearts, Lord, to make sure that as we head into this season, Lord, that we don't get caught up in all the other things that we can so easily get caught up in, but that we take time each week, each day, to make sure we're reminding ourselves that it's all about You. And that when all is said and done through this Christmas season, that we've done our best to worship You fully, Lord. And so we thank You for these things. We just pray that, Lord, You speak to each of us where we're at, Lord, as we're all on this journey of discovering what it means to follow You, Lord. And that's going to look different for each of us at different times in our life, Lord, as we're all at different places. But just draw us into where we're at, Lord, and into Your presence to live the lives that You've called us to live. We thank You for these things. Allow Your word to penetrate our hearts today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.